I have one word to say about X-Men 97.
Gay!
Magneto is so gay.
Yes.
In X-Men 97. I like, and I'm living for it. I'm living for every freaking moment.
Listen, the amount of memes I keep seeing of people talking about how Magneto's just serving cunts the entire time, I'm like, that is exactly it. That's it.
So, okay, I do not enjoy the term serving cunt. I'm not, I'm not a fan of it. However, in this instance, there's just no other way to describe him. He is 100%. Okay,
yeah.
Before we get into that, hello guys, welcome back to Simply Amazing. This is the Nightcrawler podcast for Nightcrawler fans by Nightcrawler fans. But if you're not a Nightcrawler fan, you know what? I was going to say you're welcome anyway, but you know, I don't want anything to do with people who don't like Nightcrawler, because who are those people?
It's true. Right? It's true.
Like, who are you? If you don't, like, here's the thing. You can be Nightcrawler ambivalent. Cool. You're welcome at our table. If you don't like him, there's something very much wrong with you, but that's okay anyway. My name is Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne, and I'm joined, of course, by the I think she's coming on to me right now. I don't know. She's
doing my jaw. Okay. I moved my jaw because of all the jaw problems I've had since last year. Yeah, I promise it's not you. I wonder if that's what people think I'm doing in public sometimes now. Because I'll move my jaw sometimes.
Well,
I feel like every once in a while I lock eyes with somebody. Oh my God, do they think I'm like being creepy? I'm so sorry, everybody.
To be fair, you had jaw problems and got a boyfriend, so maybe it is.
I had jaw problems after I started dating my boyfriend, so.
Well, that says a lot about your boyfriend, so.
And there's a lot I can still do with my jaw problems. Anyways, we're moving on from that conversation.
Oh, yes. Let's move on, because we're actually talking about a cartoon.
We should talk about what Magneto can do, because, oh my God. And what literally all these other X-Men can do, because so many of them are serving something fantastic. Let's be real.
Okay. So let's just... Okay. I just need to come... I have to come from two different places with this, because this show was not made for children. I feel children can watch it, but yeah. I personally feel like this is definitely, they're definitely going after the audience of the kids who watched this when they were kids, who are now adults, which that's me, because I watched it when I was a kid and now I'm an adult. So
yeah, same.
For me, the nostalgia factor, like, it just brought me back so hard. I mean, it was funny. I saw someone posted on Twitter, like, you know, a picture of where it says skip intro, and he's like, never. And that's how I felt with watching both episodes. I mean, I just wanted to relive the intro every time, because it is basically shot for shot the intro to the original one, with a couple small exceptions, like the intro, like with Morph in it. And the other thing I noticed in the intro is they seem to give a lot of like backstory, that they seem to reference a lot of stuff from the original series, like Bishop going back in time or coming back from the future in the intro. They also mention the Phoenix in the intro. So there's like a lot of like X-Men history. I feel like that gets you from the point of, if you've never watched the original series, you don't need to, which honestly, nobody needs to. As somebody who watched it as a kid and has tried to watch it again, I will say that X-Men, the animated series, it's a kid's cartoon that was made for kids in the early 90s. And it's exactly what you would expect it to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my boyfriend, he's not like a comic book fan like I am, but he enjoys X-Men stuff. So he was asking if he needed to watch the animated series before. And I was like, no, you don't need to. And even afterwards, he agreed. He's like, okay, yeah, you were absolutely right. So yeah, you definitely don't need to watch it. But the intro, you definitely have to watch. Like, you have to watch the first one because it's the first time you're seeing that intro, right? And then you have to watch it the second time, not only because why would you skip it, but also because there's a change right before Cyclops, which if you guys don't already know, we are talking spoilers.
Spoilers.
So if you haven't watched them and you don't want spoilers, stop this immediately and go do it, because we're ruining it for you. It's happening. But yeah, so in the second episode, after the cliffhanger of episode one, we see that Magneto is now in the intro right before Cyclops, which I was like, you know, even though it totally makes sense they did it, I somehow wasn't expecting it still, and it was a banger to see. So
I gotta be honest, I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice it. So I've got to go back now and rewatch that and see that. But so I have, okay, so I have a feeling that, well, okay, let's talk about the show first, and then we'll get into like theories of like where it's going to go from here. Cause we do kind of know some places it's going to go, and you know, and then we know other characters that are coming, right? Obviously Nightcrawler's coming. But like how big of a part is he going to have? Because obviously he had a very, very small part in the original series. But just in general, I mean, it's just like a big bowl of nostalgia. It is, you know, you close your eyes and it's all this, it's for the most part, all the same voice actors. I mean, Storm was my absolute favorite when I was a kid. I loved Storm so much. And it was very weird. Like I loved Storm, number one, because she was like a total goddess and awesome. And number two, because like the other, I didn't really like the other female characters very much, and I was a girl, so I had to pick a female character, right? The show now, watching it again, or watching this new series, has just reignited my absolute love for Storm. Now, don't get me wrong, Nightcrawler's gonna come first every time, but oh my God. And then it
makes sense, because Kurt and Storm go together. Like, even, I'm not necessarily saying like romantic ship, but like they're BFFs for a reason. I mean,
oh yeah,
come on now.
Oh yeah,
absolutely, like perfect choices.
He's even referred to himself as having been madly in love with her. So like, but he's also very,
I mean, but who hasn't been madly in love with her? Let's be real.
That's true. And you know, it was a punch in the gut when she lost her powers in the second episode.
I'm so fucking mad, man. That was so well done. I mean, I think we're gonna get a lot of payoff, especially because she's going on her own. So they're clearly gonna give her her own story and growth. And, you know, there's no way she's not getting her powers back at some point. If she doesn't ever get her powers back, that's stupid and a waste of everything. But it was truly heartbreaking.
So this is a part of like X-Men lore that like I'm very unfamiliar with. But like the time when Storm lost her powers, was that not also the time when she ended up with the Morlocks for a while?
I think you might be right. That's actually what I was thinking as you started that sentence. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that. So, because yeah, I think you're totally right.
Yeah, because they specifically introduced the Morlocks, and then she loses her powers, and then she has her whole little thing going on with Callisto then. So let me tell you, like, if the show is just, if they're really going to commit to the gay part of it, let's just go for it. I mean, yeah, with Morlocks and Callisto, done. Get those tentacle hands, girl.
Done.
Get those
tentacle hands.
Don't you remember when Callisto had tentacle hands for like five seconds?
No, I do.
Oh my God, listen, it was a Claremont thing. It was a Claremont thing. But yeah, but
you
like,
can say that to so many things. It was a Claremont thing. Don't worry about it.
It was a Claremont thing. But yeah, like, so we have that story that is definitely going to be unloading. And now that you mention the changing of the intro, you know, we could see a lot of evolution over the course of this show to find out what the team is actually going to shake out to be, or what the story is going to be. And the team can change, as we saw with the intro. But the one thing I don't want to happen is I don't want, like, because I've seen a lot of people saying, like, with the introduction of, like, Roberto Da Costa, that, you know, that maybe they'll introduce the New Mutants into this show. Here's what I would love them to do is not do that and instead do a separate but connected cartoon called The New Mutants, just like they did in the comics. Because the last thing I want is for them to like overload this show with so many characters that like everybody gets like 5 seconds of time and then that's the end. I want them to focus on whatever team that they're going to eventually decide is the team for this show, which I think, like, again, it could stay the same because I mean, Storm's still in the intro as of last episode, but maybe she won't be in next episode. Who knows? But I would love for them to, instead of like adding more characters to this, expanding out into different TV show, into different cartoons, just like they did in the comic books. And, you know, here's a crazy part of me. So there's a crazy part of me is wondering, you know, they mentioned Muir Island when they were talking about like the whole Storm situation. And, you know, who was during this time, the 90s, do you know who was living on your island?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember.
Nightcrawler and Excalibur. Mm-hmm. So is that how we're going to meet them? Like, you know, is that how he's going to come in, or is it going to be something, or are they going to like go specifically towards, you know, how it was in the cartoon, which obviously had nothing to do with Excalibur. But I mean, whatever they do with Nightcrawler, I'm really excited to see it. We had two episodes without him, and I was crying by the end of them. So I'm just loving it.
Yeah, I mean, episode two hit me the hardest, I think. Particularly because the way I like to talk about these two episodes for me, like, people are like, oh my God, this is amazing and great. And I agree with that, but not in the same way, I think, that some people are saying it, in terms of, you know, I think some people are just like, oh my God, this is so fun and blah, blah, blah. And it was fun, but also the second episode ripped me to shreds. I was pissed as shit at the end, especially after we're having the storm and then Magneto not smiting those fuckers. And even though it was so well done, like, I completely agree, writing choice with what they did and his whole speech to them being like, hey, before I would have smited y'all's asses for what you just did to her, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to respect, you know, basically my former ex-lover's dead dream, essentially. I'm trying to respect his dream and do what I'm supposed to do. I thought that was phenomenal. And I'm also very interested to see how long this version of Magneto holds up, or what's going to make him break later in the season. Because if that doesn't make him break, what will? Because he can't keep this whole straight up forever. And again, I know there's so many other moving parts and characters we haven't even talked about yet, but the Magneto stuff is what hit for me the fucking hardest. I'm not going to lie, which is so weird because I'm not a Magneto stan or anything.
I am a Magneto stan. And while the Magneto stuff did hit for me pretty hard, I mean, like, I guess I'm a Magneto stan by proxy, because, I mean, I love Wanda and I love Talia. So, I mean, you know, and I love Pietro actually too. So yeah, I gotta love Magneto as well. But as far as, you know, it was Storm's story was what hit me harder in the second episode, because for me, there's very clearly two different, there's very clearly two different types of mutants. Well, there's many different types, but as far as, like, when it comes to mutants and their relationships to their powers, there are mutants who, like, if they lost their powers tomorrow, it would probably, like, there are, I guess, like, we'll say three types. There are mutants who, if they lost their powers tomorrow, they would be better off for it. Like, Rogue is a good example of that. Like, she would be better off having, if she lost her powers, right? Because she would be able to touch and have these different emotions. I think Scott also feels that way because of the issue with his thing. Like, he would be better off. Then there are mutants who, like, if they lost their powers, it wouldn't, like, affect neither way. It would just kind of be like a change in their life. And then there are mutants who, if they lost their powers, it would greatly affect how they interact in day-to-day life. Like, Nightcrawler would be one, because when he did lose his powers and became human for that brief time, he talked about how he had to, like, relearn how to walk. And I think Storm is one of those, because Storm is, it's not that she's just connected to the weather. It's like she's innately in tune with it. Whereas it's like the weather is a part of her. It's like that's her other, like, it's like losing an arm, I could see, for her, is losing that connection. And I thought a really brilliant moment that I haven't seen anyone mention that I thought was so brilliant was when she walks into her room and the thunder scares her. Because I bet you, since her powers came in, she has never been scared by weather, because she always anticipated it and knew what was there and knew what was coming. So for her to be frightened by the thing that has been a part of her for so long, that hit me really hard. So like of all the characters to lose that power, because of that connection, I feel like Magneto probably has a very similar connection, you know, because of the way, you know, our Earth is controlled by magnets and everything like that. So, or magnetic waves. Like there are certain characters, and I think that, you know, it's traumatic. It's incredibly traumatic. It's like losing a limb, losing a leg, losing an arm, you know, and again, she used that power to fly. So it's paralyzing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said, honestly, that's what broke my heart the most. The Magneto stuff just kind of aided on. But yeah, I think you hit on the head. The Storm stuff broke my heart, but they wrote it and set it up very well in terms of, you know, like, the first episode, we get to see she's an Omega level mutant. So we're like, fuck yeah, this is amazing. And oh my God, look at her in all her glory. But then after that, we see her talk, well, who is it, to Jean about, or, you know, Jean, is that Jean or not? Who knows yet? but talk to her about, hey, you know, I wonder what it's like to be human sometimes. And to see somebody like Storm, who, like you said, you know, truly does value her mutant powers. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, does seem as a gift. They're not as much of a burden as, like, you know, Rogue's powers are to her and things like that. To see someone like Storm even question it is insane. And then in the end, to get exactly what she was kind of wanting to see, you know, she wanted to see what it's like to be human, but in the worst way possible. It was just so fucking heartbreaking. Like, I'm pissed as shit. But I think you're right. I think they're definitely setting up to go hang out with the Morlocks. Like, maybe she'll run into them. I'm not sure how she'll run into them, though, because she'll have to go to Genosha, because Magneto shipped them off to Genosha last we heard. So, I don't know. Maybe she'll find her way back to them on her path. Yeah, I think they're part of her journey. I'm not sure she's going to go to them first. But yeah, she was so good.
Yeah. Magneto said that he sent the mutants to Genosha, or the Morlocks to Genosha, but, like, we don't have any, you know, specific verification that that happened, number one, or that all of them went, right, number two, because, like, Callisto wouldn't go, I don't think. Like, Callisto, like, her whole thing is, like, she's with the Morlocks to, like, help them and also, you know, help other mutants, so I don't know. But, so we don't know if she's actually in Genosha. I want to know who's in Genosha. I want to know who's running Genosha. And going back to the point you made a little while ago about what eventually breaks Magneto, if Magneto breaks, I'm going to tell you exactly, like, for me, it really looks like they are pulling hard from the comics around that time. And what is the thing that happens at the end of the 90s and the early 2000s that not only breaks Magneto, but also breaks Emma Frost, is the genocide of Genosha. So we could see that coming.
That's a good point. Just, like,
there's so much story here to be told, and I'm really excited to see how they tell it. And I love that they're keeping it in the 90s. I love that everything is very 90s, like Val Cooper being on a treadmill during a phone call. So 90s, like, look back on any stupid 90s cartoon, and that's always like what happens, or 90s TV show. And God damn you. Can I just tell you really quickly? God damn you, X-Men 97, for making me enjoy Cyclops and Beast as much as I did.
Right? Like, what the fuck? I was like, I'm sorry. Am I attracted to Scott Summers in this moment? I'm going to go roll myself off a hill because
There was one moment that, like, actually, like, made me go, oh, no, that's Scott. All right. And that was the moment where there was a moment where, like, they're talking about how they're going to figure out if they can trust Magneto. And he's like, and he goes to Jean and he's like, just, like, you know, like, check his mind. And she goes, well, I can check his mind, but, like, that's him right now. It doesn't mean that, like, tomorrow he's like, he can change his mind. Like, all I can see is what he's in his mind. And Scott goes, well, then I'll have you check his mind all the time, every day.
Same. I was like, oh, we're back. I'm good. I'm not tracking him anymore.
Yeah. Oh, your pregnant wife. Oh, she doesn't have other things to do, Scott. You complete asshole. So yeah, that brought me back with Scott. However, the moment with Beast and the Sentinel was fucking iconic. That was a good moment.
I gotta say, like, we joke about, like, Beast now in the comics and things like that, but it was really nice to see, like, I call him real Beast, like, real, like, just 100, like, he's just actually, you know, a character that's not just a, you know, big Nazi. Like, yeah, he doesn't have all the best moments, but he's genuinely a good guy and things like that. I love seeing good Beast again. It was actually very nice. I was like, oh my God, what's up, buddy?
Do you know what? I'm going to say this right now. Do you know what ruined Beast? You know what ruined Beast? I'm going to tell you right now. It was Kelsey Grammer, because he put his stank on Beast when he played Beast, and we didn't know. I'm sorry. I've gone back to the first season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and the way he treated his wife when he divorced her, that man is Krakoa level Beast. P.O.S.
Oh, see, I know nothing about him. I've liked his portrayal of Beast when I saw it, but I know nothing about his personal
life. He's actually the perfect Beast, because he really is. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love Frasier. I love Frasier. Like, it's a great show. I can't not love Frasier. I haven't watched the reboot because I'm not going to, because I don't love it that much. But, like, the old Frasier, I mean, going back and watching old episodes is great. However, he's still a monster, and that's why he plays Beast. So whatever. Yeah, like, just the most awful, just an awful man. But yeah, anyway, going back to this stuff.
We have to talk about an elephant in the room that we haven't talked about, even though we've spoken about Magneto. We haven't talked about the elephant in the room that is what they're doing with Magneto and Rogue. And poor Gambit's just, like, on the sidelines, not knowing anything supposedly yet.
Well, Gambit knows something.
I'm sure he does. He's not stupid. Like, there's a lot that Gambit is. He's not stupid.
I mean, we can go both ways with that. But Gambit, well, we saw that scene where Rogue leaves the office and Gambit's standing there. And he, like, knows. He knows something's happening. So the thing with Rogue and Magneto, I don't like it, but I get
it. So I'm confused. And this is a genuine, like, maybe I'm just, like, going to lose my X-Men card or something. Because I understand, if I watched correctly, how at the end of the second episode or whatever, she's touching him and not hurting him. How is that happening?
It's something to do with his magnetic powers. I bet you it was explained in a comic somewhere, but like I don't remember what the specific exact explanation is. But as far as I understand it, it just has to do with something with his magnetic powers is able to like unpolarize, or I don't fucking know. But basically, that's the idea, is that his magnetic powers somehow protect him from her death touch, and so they can touch.
That makes no fucking sense. But if somebody listening can explain this to me, I would really appreciate it. Please let me know on Twitter or literally anywhere I am, because I saw that and I was just like, listen, I know they built up this weird tension with them and all that, but how is she touching him, not killing him? Like, this has to be a huge reach of her powers. Like, it reminds me of like in the Days of Future Past movie, they had Kate Pryde be able to, you know, phase through time, which was a really cool extension, but it's also like a huge reach. Like, I can think both about that, right? And that's why I think about this, except I don't think it's cool. I'm not a fan of them, whatever. I know the X-Men fans are all like chaos and it's fun, which is what we do here, so whatever. But like, that doesn't make sense to me. The phasing through time technically can make sense. I don't know what's happening here. Somebody please explain it. I really appreciate you. Thank you. But also, if it's going to make it worse for me, then maybe I don't want to know.
I mean, it's kind of funny because I actually find this to make more sense than phasing through time. And the only reason I say
But you can't explain to me, phasing through time is literally phasing through like each moment of time or whatever, right? The only thing you can explain to me, which I'm not blaming you at all because I don't get it either, is, oh, well, something with this unpolarizing. How can you unpolarize a literal death touch?
So here is how I'm going to try and explain it from a very stupid point of view, but that makes sense in my mind. As far as, okay, so on a cellular level, there are attractions, like there's magnet, it's almost like magnetism on a cellular level, like our, like the basis or the parts of our cells are either attracted to or repelled by each other. So specifically in the cellular wall. Oh my God, guys, look how much I learned from my anatomy and physiology.
I know. I'm like, damn, Lisa, you're making sense. Like, right? Oh no. So,
specifically within the cellular wall. So we don't understand how Rogue's powers work as far as like, what is it about her powers or what is it about her touch that actually, you know, is it like, is it a cellular transfer? Is it like, what is it? However, if it's a matter of a cellular transfer and it has to do with the cells, then Magneto having the ability to control, because basically the way things pass through cell walls is through areas where there's that attraction and detraction. So if Magneto can like turn that off in a way in her cells through his touch, that's how it works. That's how I make it make sense in my mind and why I can say that makes more sense to me than traveling backwards through time, because time travel is literally impossible. But on a cellular level, I can kind of make that make sense to myself.
I gotcha. No, that makes some sense. I'm annoyed at how much sense that actually made, but it's fine. You did great, Lisa. Congratulations.
Listen, I wish I could just like record this and like hand it into my school and be like, okay, give me my degree now.
Mood. Yeah, explaining how Magneto and Rogue can touch.
Exactly. I love it. So, so we got to wrap this up soon, I know, but like, just final thoughts. I mean, I can't wait for Nightcrawler to show up, obviously. Like, that will make me so happy. If he's on Genosha and Scarlet Witch is there, I go flood alert in the upstate New York area is all I'm saying. I will lose my fucking mind.
Yeah, but, it's true. Lisa, 1000% will. No, I can't wait for Kurt either. I'm hoping we'll see Excalibur. I liked your thoughts earlier about like having, you know, separate animated X-Men shows with other teams. I think that's a great idea. I'm hoping they're setting it up that way, but I think it also just depends on what Marvel's wanting to do right now, because they're like, oh crap, we messed up the last few years by putting out too much, and so now we have to cut down. And it's like, but this is when you should put out more, is with this universe, the X-Men, the animation. This is exactly where you should put out more, as long as you're doing it well. So hopefully they'll learn from it.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue with the fatigue of the past couple of years is, like, it's not just about having a bunch of different TV shows on a bunch of different properties. It's about having a bunch of different TV shows and movies and a bunch of different properties that all connect to tell a story together. And that's where the fatigue comes in, because it's like, okay, like I got to watch this show before I can even see this next movie. It's just like, come on, guys. However, when you do something like this, and there's also the fatigue on the side of the actors, because obviously you've got actors who are like, okay, guys, I've been playing this role now for 10 years. I'm done. I'm moving on. So, but when you have cartoons and you have different things and you can have them, the smartest thing they could possibly do is treat the cartoons just like they treat the comics. Have a cartoon for each comic story or each property. And then, you know, they can have crossovers where they cross over, but they can also be their own independent things that do their own, you know, if they can take it back to that old 90s feeling of like every book has its own story. And like once in a while, they'll do a big, like once every couple of years, they'll do a big crossover over event and they'll all come together and then they'll all go back on their way. That I think has a lot more longevity than what they've been doing at the moment, which again, people are complaining about because they're just like, I don't want to watch every single show and every single movie in order to just enjoy a movie.
So I completely agree with you. And you know, one like giant property world that did that for, you know, quite a while until the CW was thrown to shit, which was the
Arrowverse. I know exactly what you're going to say.
No, and they did that as much as, you know, they did the big crossovers, which again, they had plenty of flaws. None of them were perfect. Some were more enjoyable than others. But other than that, you didn't have to watch every single Arrowverse show to understand what was happening. You could literally just watch the one or two you liked. And yeah, there might be something missed from crossover here and there, but it was an end or break. They would cover it and move on in the next episode of that show after whatever fucking crossover was and move on. And I think that's what, you know, I wish people would actually learn from that, you know, and like these are properties like greater DC properties, Marvel, like learn from something that was that successful. The Arrowverse was incredibly successful, whether you thought the CGI was quality or not or otherwise. So, yeah, I think they should absolutely do that.
I don't know anything about the Arrowverse, but I actually thought you were going to talk about Batman, because Batman did that.
No. Okay. Batman's got everything. I'm good.
No. What I'm saying is, as far as like being able to navigate a cartoon series and a movie and have them be their own separate properties and still be really, really quality. You look at Batman from the 80s and 90s, because Batman was like a movie series, right? Started in 89 with the Michael Keaton first movie, and then it moved on to like the Schumacher shit. But while those Batman movies were happening, they still had the Batman cartoon, which is considered to be one of the greatest superhero cartoons of all time during the 1990s, where Harley Quinn comes from and all that. So, but they were able to like have, they were both their own property. It wasn't like the movie, you didn't have to watch the cartoon to enjoy the movie and vice versa. And actually, I think Star Wars is pretty successful with that as well, because you can enjoy just the films or you can get into the deeper lore in the cartoons. I think that would be a brilliant, if they took the route of Star Wars for X-Men, that would be brilliant.
Don't say that, because they've ruined it with the new trilogy and everything and the shows and canceling things. And, oh, we're going to give you this. Now we're not going to give this. There's a lot about the Star Wars you don't know that's been current the last few years. So, like, please do not do that to X-Men. Absolutely not. What they need to do with the X-Men and the Marvel stuff in general is just focus on one thing at a time. Build up the X-Men, make them great. Introduce a Fantastic Four. Build them up, make them great. You got the two main things, right? What they've done the last few years that was really fun at first, but didn't stick with most people. There are some people I know enjoyed this, and that's great. But with most of our audiences, it couldn't stick, is they had too many new introductions going on. It wasn't just the Avengers. It wasn't just this. There's just too much happening at once. And that's one nice thing about comics, is that even if you have 20 different comics going on, you can read your one comic and enjoy it, right? You can read your two or three comics and enjoy it. So I completely agree with you with, like, they just need to do that general model, but with the TV and the movies and make it work. And yeah, every once in a while, if you can make a really great big crossover that we can enjoy, fantastic. Then move the fuck on, because people at this point, what I'm seeing and the general like movie and TV trend is we just want good content that has good storylines, good characters, good world building, and we want to just be able to enjoy it and then be able to move on with our lives. That's all we want to do. And then if we're super into it, we can geek out about it later afterwards too. That's great. But people want good shit now. We don't want half-ass shit from any kind of property just because you're making something. Make amen. Good stuff. That's it.
Use that whole ass. Amen.
Amen. No, that's it. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm super excited to see Kurt. Obviously, I've seen the clips from the trailers where he's got his swords. I'm hoping we do Excalibur. I want to see Lockheed. He's baby. I love him. I don't care about anybody else when Lockheed's around, except Kurt. I so care about Kurt. But we have to talk about is that actually Gene? Is that Madeline Pryor?
Oh, yeah.
Or who's at the door? Is that Maddie? Is that one? Which one's which? When Sinister officially coming in? We know it's coming. It's been advertised. I'm here for that content. The drama. It's very Real Housewives-y. I love it.
Oh, yeah. And it's very like Scott to impregnate the wrong woman. Like, that is such
a cyclops
move.
It fucking is.
Like, such a cyclops move, impregnate the wrong woman. Like, you didn't even realize that wasn't your wife, dude. You didn't realize that wasn't your wife. I guarantee there were 1,000 tells along the way. I guarantee there were 1,000 tells where he was like, oh, how's your sister Sarah doing? And she's like, who? And he's just like, huh. Anyway, all right, whatever. Moving on. Anyway, so, yeah, that's going to be crazy. Oh, and also, I wanted to point out that you heard it here first. Lauren said it. Mexica, make X-Men great again.
Basically,
yes,
except they've been great. It's just like give them the platform. It's not making them great again. Because here's the thing, this show's come out, we're 2 episodes in, and X-Men are everywhere. They've been all over my feeds, and I'm like, ta-da, sorry Avengers fans, it's what we've been telling you for decades.
Well,
you had your time, but when the X-Men come in, that's all that matters. That's it.
This is what it was like in the 90s. Like, this kind of crazy cure. Like, Pizza Hut, get your cups out, baby. Where's the Pizza Hut cups? Come on. Like let's, where are our, like, McDonald's? I want some toys. Let's make some stuff happen.
Make some toys.
But, the one last thing I want to point out and talk about, talking about the whole Mexica of it all, is the very clear January 6th metaphor when the purifiers and all the protesters come in. Now, first of all, I'm really glad they didn't kill Executioner, because I really liked Executioner as a villain. I thought he was so fucking good. Like, I loved him. And however, I do want to say one thing about the whole January 6th of it all is, let's just not give more credit than is due, because like 50% of those January 6th idiots were just walking around taking selfies and shitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk, whereas the protesters in this show actually looked way more organized and way more effective. So just remember, like, you know, the January 6ers were fucking idiots. That's all.
Oh, that's a fact. And yeah, it was, you know, one thing I'll say about the first episode, when I watched it, you know, I saw how much everybody was blowing about the show and they were loving it. So when I watched it, I was kind of like, eh, but we're back to the hating on mutants stuff again. And that's one thing that really does kind of bother me with the X-Men, is that will never change. And while, you know, it makes sense that won't change, I'm not saying it necessarily has to. But after a while, I'm like, I get it. They fucking hate mutants. Like, I'm so fucking tired of this shit. But again, the layers they added to it in the second episode with Storm and Magneto and stuff, it got me, because I start feeling things. And that's why afterwards I was like, you know what? Even though I'm sad, I'm mad, this is making me feel something. That's why the X-Men matter. Because even if they use this same general plot point in thousands of different ways over and over and over again, because it is real. And that's the thing, that shit doesn't end for so many people in this world. And it sucks. The layers they add to it, the continued reality they continue to add to it. It's so good, because that's the goal. The X-Men make you feel something, whether it's something you want to feel or not. The X-Men make you feel, and I think that's so important, and part of the reason why they're so great, and why anytime the X-Men get their time, everybody is all ears, whether they want to be or not, because you can't help it.
Yeah, I do want to say, like, I like what you said about, you know, just, you know, I get where you're coming from with the like, oh my God, we've seen it, we've seen it, we've seen it. But like what you said a little bit later, kind of, you know, there's a privilege that comes from being able to say like, oh, I'm so sick of seeing this, you know, yeah. like looking at like, you know, like wars in other countries and being like, oh, I'm so sick of seeing this. And you pointed out, like, you know, in the second episode, it became more personal. And of course that, and I think that's one of the, that's such an important point of the X-Men metaphor. It's like, we should be sick of seeing it. We should be.
Right.
Because it's because we see it every day in our real lives. And for those of us who are invested in X-Men, you know, we relate to the mutant characters. So, you know, it bothers us there. But like, here's the thing, there are people in our real world who are affected by this exact same bigotry every single day that, you know, so yeah, like it sucks that, you know, they keep telling these stories, but like until there's not bigotry, then like there's really no reason to not tell these stories anymore because it should be making people uncomfortable. People should right. be like sick of it because it's real. It's happening in real life. We should be sick of it and happening in real life too. Right. So, but yeah, it's, I just thought that was a great point that you made. And yeah, so, but you know, it's one of those things where it's never going to change because it's like it's literally why they were created. So it's just, you know, they'll always be those moments, but here's what I don't want to see is I really don't want to see like this, like fabulous utopian X-Men show. When we have all this shit happening in our real world, it's like,
oh,
like
for sure.
If we're suffering, the X-Men suffer.
Sure. I completely agree. And I think you hit on the head earlier with the possibility of Genosha going to shit by the end of the season. And that's going to set Magneto up for more shit. I am hoping that, you know, if Magneto goes back to shit and goes back to his, you know, quote, old ways, hopefully by that time we have Storm back to lead. And, you know, maybe Scott, you know, does actually leave the team or something. Again, I know people are probably going to get tired of me shitting on Scott, but I'm sorry. It also will never stop. I will find a way to call him out on his shit. And I also just want to see Storm as the main leader of the team because people are all like, okay, well, Storm's a leader, but she's never the main leader. No, she is. I'm tired.
Oh my God, girl. What if the showrunners did their damnedest to make everyone love Scott in the first two episodes so that we can all just be crushed by what's going to come next.
I won't be crushed. It's like, Scott. You can't crush me with Scott. I challenge them. Honestly, straight up. I challenge them. Crush me with Scott Summers. You won't. You won't. Storm, absolutely. You will ruin my life. You cannot crush me with Scott Summers.
Okay. Crush me with Scott Summers has to become a t-shirt. Like, crush me with Scott Summers. That's going to become a new... That's going to become
but you know what? Fine. Crush me, Scott Summers. There you go. All the people thirsty for Scott, you get a shirt from Lisa. You're so welcome.
Crush me with Scott Summers. That's going to be our like number one pride merch coming up.
I swear to fucking God, Scott damn Summers. That's all he's good for. He's thirsting merch at Pride. Sorry, I'm kidding. He's good for a lot of things. I like the stuff they did with his powers. Like, again, I was honestly upset to like him at multiple points.
I know, me too.
And like,
me
you know, too. It's not even like I directly hate him all the time, but like, I just get annoyed with him because he's like a basic, he's just basic to me. And I hate saying that because it's like, oh, somebody's basic. But seriously, he's just another white man. You know what I mean?
But I think that's his whole
point. The shit he did, like with his powers and stuff, I was like, oh my God, he's actually stopping his own fall and not asking me to flow by using his powers. Well, I'll be damned, sir. Brain cell, absolutely.
That was literally the moment where I was like, God damn it. They're making me like Scott Summers. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I love that.
I think it was either that or some other moment that I was like, oh no, I think he's attractive here. I hate this for me. The bi in me jumped out and I wanted to stop.
Yeah. I did love how like there was this one battle they did and the only person who ended up with a torn t-shirt, a torn shirt was Logan. It was like everybody else was totally intact and Logan is just in tatters. And let me actually bring this up as well. I love that Logan is not the number one be all end all of this show. Like
1000% agreed. It's not the Logan show. What a concept.
Like Morph had a bigger role in these two episodes than Logan.
Sunspot.
Did.
We haven't even talked about Sunspot, who I enjoy. It's Sunspot and Jubilee hanging out and, you know, she's trying to get him to, like, stay at the X-Mansion and be like, hey, listen, dude, like, I get it. I was a kid once. But, like, you can grow here. And Jubilee's new design, by the way, she looks fantastic. So much better than her old design. I mean, we could talk about just two episodes of the show forever because there's just so many good things about it.
Really,
and it's so wonderful.
Just to touch on the Roberto of it. I love that when he was introduced, he was basically like, I've got money and I'm one of the good ones. So I love that. And I also, the one scene that like really hit me and like reminded me of like why so many of us like are attracted to the X-Men and the these characters and these books and these stories is that moment where Roberto is like how can I want to be an X-Men when I don't even want to be me? And I was like, yeah, I really appreciated that they didn't just say like, I don't even want to be a mutant. He said, I don't want to be me, because that is so many of us.
Yeah, there was something I think where it's, I think maybe Jubilee or somebody asked that, you know, you have to, you know, do you like yourself or what have you? And I think he said no or something. There was some moment like that. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it was so good. Yeah,
it was with Jubilee. They were talking right before he leaves and he shows her his powers. And then she's like, don't you want to be an X-Men? And he's like, well, how can I want to be an X-Men when I don't even want to be me? Or it was something like along those lines.
Yeah. That was so good because there's something she said too about, you know, she was able to find herself there and be herself without restriction that really spoke to him. He's like, you know, it would be actually kind of nice to be able to like myself. And that was the other thing too. You know, I like that you said the word like, not just love, because we always talk about you need to love yourself and stuff. That's arbitrary, you know, but being able to just say you appreciate yourself and like yourself, I think is powerful as well. And it was just such a good moment there. I mean, there's just so much good going on. There's so many different storylines and things weaving together and they're going to continue weaving. I love the X-Men and this is what good writing is, and God bless.
Totally agree. I'm really into it. I'm really excited. I got to be honest. Like I really had very little expectation from it because you know, when they said they were going to do X-Men, the animated series, it was like, I mean, of all the X-Men series, animated series, it's kind of my least favorite. It's, you know, I feel like the least interesting of them. I, you know, prefer X-Men Evolution and, you know, and Wolverine, the X-Men for very obvious reasons, but my favorite was always X-Men Evolution. And I gotta be honest, like, I'm so impressed. The nostalgia is big. The nostalgia is really big. Guys, and I'm going to mention this, you know, by the time this comes out, it's too late for the first one, which we're talking about these episodes anyway, but I'm going to do a weekly on the weekends, on Sunday mornings, we're going to do a weekly stream for these episodes. So if you guys want to watch with us, come join on Discord. We have our Nightcrawler Discord. Come join us. And we would love to, you know, every Sunday morning we'll get together with our cereal and our jammies and we'll watch the newest episode of X-Men 97.
I love that. Outstanding. I will be there as I can. But I absolutely love that. And
we won't do it on Easter because obviously Easter, but then we'll just do a double the next weekend. But.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. And the X-Men are back. That's all that matters, guys, is we're back on top. The X-Men are on top.
That's it. The X-Men are on top. And, Lauren is on the bottom, just right under Cyclops, right under Scott Summers.
Listen, but I don't mind. People are like, oh, you're bottom. That's lame. Listen, for one, I'm not a bottom, but two, I will bottom for them.
Well, let me tell you, one of my absolute favorite lyrics from a Broadway show is from Crazy for You, where I forget the name of the character, but it's in Naughty Baby. And she goes, at something, I was at the top of my class. All the boys were underneath. I love that line. I love that line so much. So anyway, guys, thanks for joining us for another fabulous episode of Simply Amazing. Another episode. It is kind of funny. So we are now into this. We're almost at the end of the third quarter of this year. And I think we have done two episodes about Nightcrawler in our Nightcrawler podcast. But it's okay because we're going to
quarter. You mean third month? What do you mean quarter of the year?
Sorry, first quarter, not third quarter. First quarter.
I was like, time travel is real all of a sudden. What the hell?
First quarter. I don't know what I'm thinking of. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, we love talking about Nightcrawler, obviously, but we love talking about X-Men stuff as well. So we're going to talk about all of it as it comes. And we got a lot of exciting things coming, of course, in the fall with Gail Simone. But until then, we'll talk about whatever else is happening. So thanks for joining us. Lauren, where can they find you?
I'm everywhere at Friendly MBHDBI. Come bother me. Make me feel things like the X-Men do. Whatever. It's fine.
You can make her feel things just like Scott Summers does.
I mean, no! Time to go!
It's going to be Lauren in a Supergirl Scott Summers sandwich.
No! Why would you do that? She deserves better. Not even just me at that point. She deserves better. This is a nightmare. I need to leave immediately. I'm about to close my laptop. I'm closing
the four S's. Supergirl Scott Summers sandwich.
No! S's. I am closing this immediately. We will lose this recording. I am closing everything down.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for the last episode of Simply Amazing. Come find us online. We are at simplyamazingpod.com. We're on the Twits. We're on the Blues. We're on the Face. We're on the Insta.
We're definitely on the Face.
Scott Summers is. I'm telling you.
Damn it! This at least is going to ruin my life now.
All right. We're on all of it. So please come find us and tell us how much you love us or hate us, or tell us what you want to tell us about anything. Tell us what you want to know about Lauren's jaw, because she is coming on to me something strong right now. Let me tell you.
I am stressed out with you speaking of Scott. I have to move my jaw so it doesn't tighten up. It's terrible.
Okay. So, for those of you out there listening, there's one person out there who I know you go by Scott's wife and you think you're actually married to Scott Summer as well. Happy 15th or 16th anniversary, because it's been that long since I talked to you, and you're simply amazing.